took a walk in Tompkins Square, and they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the neo colonies. Soldiers left there.
This is a Quality News Network. The clashes between Israel and Hezbollah are now in their ninth day. An unknown number of Israeli soldiers were killed today when fighting broke out between Israeli forces and Hezbollah guerrillas in southern Lebanon. So far, Lebanese officials say more than 300 people have been killed, while Israel reports 29. At the United Nations, Secretary General Kofi Annan is calling for an immediate halt to the two-week-old violence. He condemned Israel for using excessive force, but also said Hezbollah's abduction of two Israeli soldiers resulted in holding the entire nation of Lebanon hostage. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to travel to the Middle East next week. Her spokesman says she'll try to help find a diplomatic solution to stop the fighting. On Capitol Hill, the Senate voted unanimously to renew the Voting Rights Act for another 25 years. Passed in 1965, the law allowed millions of minorities to vote. Last week, the House passed the bill, which now heads to President Bush. In San Francisco, a federal judge is allowing a lawsuit against AT&T to go forward. A privacy rights group sued the company, saying it illegally cooperated with the U.S. government's domestic eavesdropping program. The judge dismissed the government's assertion that the lawsuit could reveal national security secrets. In Missouri, the governor has declared a state of emergency and deployed National Guard troops to evacuate people in the face of soaring heat. Meanwhile, utility crews are working to restore power to tens of thousands of homes that storms knocked out yesterday. Across Iraq today, 12 people were killed, including a U.S. Marine, in violent attacks. Today, the top Shiite cleric told his followers to stop retaliating against the Sunnis. His statement comes as the U.S. military estimated that daily violence in Baghdad has jumped 40%. In Tehran, an Iranian security agency said the country will respond by August 22nd to the package of incentives aimed at halting its nuclear work. The agency also warned that Iran may withdraw from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty if the UN follows through with a resolution condemning the country for its failure to respond earlier. On Capitol Hill, a government official said that at least one Iranian witnessed North Korea's recent missile launches. Experts say Iran's missile is based on a North Korean design. In Haiti, kidnappers are demanding $100,000 in exchange for the release of two U.S. citizens.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Freddie Mac reports that the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.8%. That's the highest it's been in 4 years. Meanwhile, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says the cooling housing market could contribute to slower economic activity overall. The Labor Department reports that 304,000 Americans filed for jobless benefits last week. Employers reported that 121,000 jobs were added in June, a smaller number than economists had predicted. A new report by the Institute of Medicine finds that drug errors at hospitals, nursing homes, and doctor's offices hurt more than 1.5 million Americans every year. Negotiators say they're close to a deal on a bill aimed at improving employer-based pensions. Companies that fall behind on contributions to the plans would face stricter funding rules. Lawmakers are expected to meet again today. Toyota says it's not interested in joining a proposed alliance between GM and Renault-Nissan. Toyota's president says the company is also not interested in blocking such an alliance. Consumer Reports has posted a list on its website of the worst American cars of 2006. Based on consumer complaints, the list includes a Dodge Sprinter van, Ford Crown Victoria, and Mercury Grand Marquis. Light sweet crude settled at $73.08 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 83 points, NASDAQ down 41, S&P 500 down 11. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Quite the little week we've had, isn't it? And it's not even over yet. Oh, I can hardly wait to see what Friday brings. Is it fair to say that there's a full-scale invasion of Lebanon going on now? We've got U.S. Marines evacuating Americans. By the way, I didn't get to it at any time in the last 3 days. Have you been following this issue of the extortion of American evacuees in Beirut? You heard about this? I guess it's gone now, but I had audio a couple of days ago. I called the State Department line because, well, okay, I'm a movie buff, right? So everybody, and so I connect, I'm sorry, I am. But everybody's trying to get out of Beirut, and, you know, the romantic Hollywood vision is, of course, Casablanca. Diamonds are a glut on the market. I do not need diamonds anymore. And Rick Blaine saying, I don't traffic in human beings. It's a pity, Rick, because human beings are the most profitable commodity in Casablanca. You know, that kind of stuff. The flamenco singer at the Blue Parrot. Well, that's not what it is. No. No, that's not what it is at all. What it is mayhem and massacre. I've seen photographs of apartment buildings in Lebanon that look more like the ground zero in New York City than just about anything else. It's heartbreaking. And ground forces moved in from Israel across the border into Lebanon today. Hezbollah nut jobs fighting them. And of course, what's the exchange rate on lives now? Three kidnapped Israelis, and in retribution, 300 civilian dead. Something like that. A pox upon both of their houses. A pox upon both of their houses. Crazy racist jerks who hate little Jewish children for being Jewish and being in Haifa or Tel Aviv and claim that they're they are part of the great Zionist conspiracy and we must drive them into the sea. Screw them! And of course, the generals and the ministers in Israel with their fine European traditions lobbing 23 tons of munitions into Lebanese civilian areas. Screw them, too. Screw the merchants of death. and destruction. I hate them all. You know, you just kind of want to get them in. Okay, back up. This is just fantasy, okay? Because there was a time that this was actually policy in some parts of the world. You get the two warring leaders together in a room and you say, you're going to make peace or you're not coming out alive. And we'll keep bringing leaders in and we'll tell you to make peace or not. Because, you see, it's not little Jewish babies that deserve to be punished for the foolhardy idiocy of an Ehud Olmert. And it's not little Lebanese babies who deserve to be punished for the vicious, racist hatred of Sheikh Nasrallah and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I'm a crazy man. Those are the people who deserve to be punished. Anyone who would break the peace of the human race does deserve the punishment for doing so. But of course, it's not the leaders who get punished. Ehud Olmert is sitting down to a lovely dinner, maybe breakfast. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is sitting down to a lovely breakfast. Nasrallah is, unless he's been bombed to death, which frankly wouldn't bother me in the least. Killing Nasrallah is not, no, okay, I mean, I'm pacifist, I'm pro-peace, I am all kinds of... you get the idea. But killers, you treat like killers. You know, when Dear Leader decided to swat a gnat with a sledgehammer by bombing the snot out of a bunch of sheep herders in Afghanistan, I thought, you know, maybe the smart money is to send in those much vaunted special forces, very quietly slip into the cave, grab Osama, bring him back, and drag him through the streets of New York till there wasn't no flesh left on his bones. But that's me. But you see, that would involve the meeting out of justice on the people who deserve having justice poured upon them. Not mercy. Oh no, sunshine, not mercy, but justice. And I'm sick of hearing about, oh, it's the problem of the Zionist state, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's human beings. And I'm sick to death of hearing people who dare to criticize the Israeli actions being referred to as anti-Semite, because that's a load of BS. I know an anti-Semite when I see one. Usually they have skinheads or, running around in Doc Martens with swastikas tattooed on their arms. Or, you know, they wear bed linens on Saturday afternoons in the park. Or they're outright Nazis. I know what fascists look like because I observe the White House every day. And pay attention to the pronouncements coming out of Chief Spokes Fascist Tony Snow. You see. But, you know, just but calling anybody who ever served Alan Dershowitz a cup of coffee and forgot the cream and sugar an anti-Semite, no. And I was over at Huffington Post today, and Bill Maher has lost his mind going, attaboy, Mr. President. Go stand by and tell the Israelis to kill some more Lebanese babies. Woohoo! I really lost a lot of respect for Bill Maher in that, but I guess I understand it. Because there's a mindset that says that, you know, thou shalt not criticize Israel for bombing the snot out of innocent civilians. Thou shalt not criticize Israel for swatting flies with sledgehammers. But you know what? I'm straight up. I'll criticize the lot of them. I'll criticize George Bush for yesterday saying, well, you know, it might take another week for him to get all the Hezbollahs. So we'll just let them go on slaughtering civilians for another week or so. And, is that, yeah, Because, Syria won't tell them to stop this brown word. See, look, George, I can go hours on end without saying the word that you couldn't make it 2 minutes with an open mic before you said. A pox upon both their houses. And, you know, I read this, and I'm not one of these apocalyptic types. You should know by now from listening to me. I don't buy into this Darby-esque, dispensational, end times crap. Because I'm able to read. Just put one word right after the other, and next thing you know, you're reading books. But I have gone back, and maybe we'll talk about this later this evening. This is not a prayer meeting edition, but you know what? There are valuable lessons to be learned in all the holy texts of all the world. You know, once you get the magic out of them, there are life lessons in there. And I went back and I looked at the hardened heart of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus last night. And maybe we'll talk about it. What we're going to do right now, though, we've got to take a break. We've got a guest coming around tonight in the second hour. Dan Cipra will be with us. Because, you see, we have this little problem. We've got a Republican Congress that says, don't do as we do as we say. And now the Republicans want to stop you from playing online poker? Bart Kopp is going to be very, very, very upset. So when we come back, your phone calls will go right to the phones. Your phone calls are welcome. 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Email rushes into bob@headonradio.com. I'm that Bob. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
After the hour. We're going to be a little upbeat or die trying. Okay. Let's go to the phones. David is with us calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I have some good news for car enthusiasts today.
Yes?
Today, the first revolutionary electric car from Silicon Valley was revealed today. It's the first car company in Silicon Valley. It goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. I kid you not.
No.
Yes. And it goes 200, it goes top speed, 135 miles an hour. Gets better, Bob.
Okay.
250 miles per charge. It only takes 3.5 hours to charge your car.
That's a great little commuter.
And it's a roadster.
It's a two-seater? Open top?
Yeah, it's a two-seater.
Now, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting.
What's the name of the company?
Tesla Motors. Great company.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, anybody, Tesla.
There's only one moving part in the car.
The wheels.
No, for the that too. I think it's the motor inside. It's pretty amazing. This guy, wait till you hear how it's powered. It's powered by the same thing that's powered in your laptop.
Nickel metal hydride
battery.
Yeah, NIM, nickel metal hydrides.
Right.
That's got to be a great big old honking battery.
It is a big battery, but they've tested against all the other EVs. And
so it was unveiled today. Does that mean it's on the market?
It's going to be in the market in 2007 in a few major cities. They have $60 million worth of funding. The guy who decided to do it is. He actually isn't. He's new to the car business. He started developing e-readers for computers.
Huh.
And it's really interesting. Now to the second point. I've started calling, drum roll, right-wing radio people. And the reason why I'm calling it is not because I am into their point of view, if anyone could tell that already, because I'm not. The reason why I talk about it is there's a vacuum speak. There are people listening. There are lurkers. And they need to hear they need to hear a reasonable side. So I was on the air with Jerry Doyle today.
Oh yeah.
and the guy has ridiculous opinions on the war.
Well, yeah, Jerry Doyle. Because I'm a little bit of an aficionado of talk radio, I'm familiar with Jerry Doyle. He claims to be an independent. And see, that's where all these right wing freaks run. In order to make it seem like they're a little bit less of a party flack.
Right. And I also think Las Vegas and Hollywood has infected his brain a bit. So I cut him some slack in that regard. When he said, though, when he said, kill them all and let God sort it out, I just had to jump on the air. And I said, you know, Jerry, as immediate and as white and black as this is, I said, the problem with this is life is not a Metallica album title.
Good job.
And then he started going through, so what do you want to do? I said, Jerry, we're bankrupting our country for military. How far do you want to go? Then I asked him, I said, what does Newt Gingrich know about war? What does he know about war? He goes, he's ratcheting up the rhetoric of saying it's World War III already. I said, that's not what you should be doing. And then you know what his answer was? This is funny. His answer to me was, well, he's just a pundit. I was about to laugh.
He's a pundit? He's a pundit now?
Yeah, he's just a pundit. He can say whatever he wants to the press, and nobody can. He's no accountability, I guess. So the other thing that was interesting to me was the fact that he kept on saying. But then I got him on an issue that really, really hyped him up, really amplified him. I said, Jerry, let's say your home and your land is occupied. Do you mean for a minute, and your family was renditioned? Do you mean to tell me for one second that you would not want to fight in your homeland? I said, that's what's happening in Iraq. And then, while he was on the ropes, I said this. I said, and I want to tell you this. All of the media that you're quoting, I said, you're quoting Newsmax. I go, do you know what the Newsmax is the equivalent to outside of the United States? This got him. I said, Star Magazine.
Well, you know, I tend to think Newsmax is the equivalent of World Nazi Daily, but, you know.
World Nazi Daily, right. And then I said, Jerry, you need to watch something like Link TV, Mosaic, and pay attention to the Middle East. He goes, I know you want to believe that. See, I was just basically.
He just kind of let you go with all of this, David?
Yeah. And I said, Jerry, the problem with your rhetoric, I said, is that your perspective is Western, and it doesn't matter anymore to the places in the region in Europe and Turkey and the Middle East region. It doesn't matter. And I don't know why Republicans still don't understand this. You've lost the perception war. You're never going to win it again outside of the United States.
Yeah, the credibility.
It's gone.
And, you know, just to back you up for a minute, David, one of the things you'll notice is that, you know, we build this as conversation radio and we really mean it.
Right.
I don't think, maybe Doyle's coming around a little bit because I think right-wing radio is beginning to suffer.
Well, I don't think he's coming around. You know what I think it is? I think it's this misunderstanding of logic, because they've never actually been in a battle. They've never actually been in a war. I can understand that if you're raised on Chuck Norris and Rambo and you don't let anything else alter your perception and you think everything is right because of what you see. I can understand that. But when you say, the next time I call them, I'm going to mention the military, the closing of the Fort Hood. I used to live there, by the way. Fort Hood, the military base, and what's going on there. They've cut the money. Bob, they've cut the money for pest control. In the whole damn base barracks.
Oh, I know, but we've got plenty of money for the Joint Task Force bomber. Yeah. We're gadget crazy, and this, you know, this is what Eisenhower was trying and apparently failing to warn us about warning us about the marriage between government and the military industrial complex.
I tell you, and then after I was done after the call, he made his point, his rebuttal. He was still talking about me on the air. And he said, I think David from Maine has the wrong idea about the worldview. He goes, David from Maine, I want to tell you something. I mean, he was like literally just like.
Well, see, that's another cheap trick of right-wing talk. They'll after, you know, even if you do get to have some portion of your say, right, after they're done with you, they'll address you when you can't respond to them. Because that's the, whether it's Flush or Doyle or Savage or any Hannity, their gig is that they cannot actually carry on debate with a give and take.
I like Doyle for the respect that he gives me in the moderation of the time. He didn't insult me. He didn't say anything. He just said he thinks my worldview is wrong, which, you know, it's his show. What am I going to say?
Right, and that's the one other thing everybody has to remember who would like to debate a wingnut talk host, is that as long as they control the dump button, as long as they control the means of production, and I'm not getting all communist, I'm talking about the audio,
right.
You're going to be hard pressed to win, and you're going to have to sort of counterpunch and get in there and get the rapier between the ribs and get out.
One thing I'd like to suggest to people, if they're going to do this, and they want to call some radio shows, and if they want to take this, this is what I would suggest. Have a nonlinear conversation with the host. And what I mean is, you pick it up what he said last time. So it's a continuing dialogue, and it doesn't matter if he has the last word, because it's going to go on and on and on.
As long as the producer will let you.
Oh, I think this. Me and the screener, we get along. I think that, you know what it is? I think the business of talk radio in the right wing, they scramble for calls like this. But they don't get calls like this because, I'm going to be honest with you, there's so much conservative saturating the markets that they're just basically eating themselves up.
Well, I can point you down the valley to Charleston, West Virginia. The number one talk station in the market is owned by a conservative. The number two is owned by a conservative, and the number three is owned by a conservative, and they're all running conservative talk.
Right, it's all one big conservative.
And the number three station, I think, is owned by Bristol Broadcasting, and they usually pull in a 12 plus cume that's like 0.5. I mean, they're just getting slaughtered.
It's all one big conservative jihad.
That's and that's just bad, you know, for a gang of people that say, all right, we're pro business, you know, we believe in the free market.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's dumber than dirt for that number three station that's pulling in a 0.5 to be running the third tier conservative talk.
And now the funniest part of the whole thing, you're going to laugh at this, Bob.
Okay.
He goes, well, Dave from Maine. He goes, I don't know if you understand the seriousness of this terrorism. I need to get the soundbite of this. This is how funny it is. I don't understand if you understand the terrorism, the level of seriousness of this. He goes, because you live in Maine, but they will come, and they will kill you.
In Maine?
Yeah.
Listen,
that's such an open shot. When I get back on the air, there's no way I can't take that shot like a Mike Tyson's punch out, like ba boom.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think Osama's ever contemplated Maine when the spring mud season comes around.
Another thing I'm going to bring up, and I hope they take this serious. I actually got through the screener, believe it or not, because I guess I have a diplomacy about me. I said, we're bankrupting ourselves in this war, correct? He's like, yeah. I was like, how much longer do you think you can go with this? Didn't have an answer. He just said, well, I'll get you to talk with Jerry or whatever. The main thing I want to bring up next time, and I want to talk about this because I think it's important. Osama bin Laden said the main reason that he became this way, this kind of extremist, do you know what it was? It was the invasion of Lebanon. When the towers fell in Lebanon, in Beirut, I don't know the name of the towers, but when they fell, that's when he became enraged, and he knew his purpose. So I ask you, what do you think that does to people in Lebanon who have lost family members, friends, acquaintances, landmarks, whatever is in their town that they hold dear? What do you think that is?
David, exactly. Every shell that falls on Beirut falls with an Uncle Osama Wants You recruiting poster attached to it.
That's right. And not only that, they have the complete opportunity to become Osamas, too. Their own leader and their own terrorist faction and just hating everything. Because I think you develop a nihilist perspective if you're entrenched in war so much. That's why.
Oh, you want nihilism, David? I got nihilism. I hate it when I wind up talking about photographs on the radio because it's a failure from the beginning. But I saw a photograph yesterday of little Israeli girls, and you know, no older than my 12-year-old daughter. Pretty little things, just darlings.
Were they riding on the missile?
Riding on the artillery shells.
I got you on that one. I think that is deplorable, and we shouldn't even be promoting that. And the fact that people actually put that picture out there like that, you know, you can tell Israel wanted to do that. Because they're so distorted in their mind, they think that's right.
Well, you got to remember, that 12-year-old girl is going to be involved in mandatory service in the Israeli Defense Forces in what, 8 years, 6 years?
Right, and then
they got to get her all numbed up and wrapped up in nationalistic fervor so that she won't feel bad about pulling the lanyard on an artillery piece and dropping one of those shells on somebody's baby.
And then you know what's funny is Israel will come out and they'll say, well, we may be bombing civilian infrastructures, but they're sending missiles and rockets with ball bearings. I mean, give me a break. It's a country.
It's all a Flip Wilson routine, David. The devil made me do it.
I'm beginning to think that. See, and that's the problem that we have with our society today, is the fact since people have never been in war, they don't understand conflict, they've never killed anyone, they can say any rhetoric on the air. Do you know how easy it is for me or for you or for anyone to take this position and just say, kill them all and let God sort it out?
Oh, it is. It's terribly easy, David. It's incredibly easy.
And you know, something I wanted to bring up to Doyle, and I'll probably bring it up next time, is the fact that all of these strategists and all these political analysts, they get off the hook. We should have a contract with them directly, Bob, and say, if you ratchet and wage and spark this war, you're going in for a helmet, we're paying for your body armor, and you're getting out on the battlefield. That's the kind of contract we should have. And then we'll see how many analysts we have who want to have geopolitical war all of a sudden.
Well, I think you'd see it go down dramatically.
I know, that's the point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was what I was saying earlier with, you know, get the two leaders in the room and say, you know, you either make peace or you don't leave alive.
I want progressives to know you cannot be afraid of analysts and strategists. You have to take them on head on. If they're on a radio show, no pun intended. But
use the phrase all you want, okay?
Okay, all right. You have to take them head on. Get on the air if you can. Go to their conventions and events, ask them these questions, and speak out, and do it eloquently and politely, and you'll be surprised. Eventually, you're going to start to see a shift of opinion, and people are going to start to realize and be like, wait a minute, why are they waging war? Why are these people telling us this? It's like good music. It takes a minute for people to get into something different. It's 180 from their perspective.
Well, you know, it's the oldest saying in the world concerning armed conflict: rich man's war, poor man's fight. And there's a reason the Bush twins aren't. Are there any Republican children of the elite actually in the military? I haven't heard of any.
No, and I tell you what, I think if we're smart, and I think this is what we need to do. All of these neoconservatives who want this war, We should point out that they're never going to serve the military. Just keep reminding them. They're not going to have blood on their hands. So what does it matter what they say?
And this is coming from the crowd that preaches personal responsibility at you and me. It's a little bit of what we'll be talking about. Granted, it's not warfare, but this internet gambling bill that passed the House last week. It's so obscene because here's a party that is represented by people like Bingo Billy Bennett, who, I mean, this isn't rumor, this is the truth. The guy sits alone. I mean, we can get all sort of analytical about this. The guy goes to Atlantic City or Vegas or whatever, sits alone in a high roller suite with a one-armed bandit brought into him, sits there naked, playing a one-armed bandit, and then puts out a bestseller called The Book of Virtues.
Now, who was that, Bennett?
Yeah, Bill Bennett.
I didn't know he was naked.
Yeah! Sits there, and I mean, I don't, it's too much information for me.
I hear you. And I think.
And so last week we get this bill saying, thou shalt not play poker online.
Oh, man.
You know, the FCC is out there, David. Are you familiar with this? They sent a mandate has gone out from the Bush FCC telling the major networks that they want videotapes of their, last 5 years' worth of sporting events because they want to scan the crowd and play the audio to make sure to see if the ambient microphones that pick up the natural sound from the playing field want to see if any dirty words got broadcast live.
You know, the thing that gets me, Bob, is everything that people say, and this is another point I'm going to bring up on the radio the next time I get on, is that all of this is, it's not conservatism. It's Viking and barbarianism. What they're doing, and if they're going to stay there for the military, people, we need to have that discussion on the air as well, because they're not doing anything for the military. They're cutting left and right. They're doing these ridiculous plans for God knows what, world domination, when you don't even have a 500,000 man army.
Yeah.
What is going on? Do you honestly think people are going to stay in rank because you issue a draft? You know what's going to happen if we do have a war in these regions? People are just going to go AWOL.
Well, I think, first of all, if Iran, now Greg Palast the other night said that Iran is a shibboleth. It's not going to happen. But first of all, if it is, according to Seymour Hersh, these jokers think they can do it with a bombing campaign alone. Because at this point, they've broken the military. They know they've broken the reserves. They've broken the National Guard. And they've broken the regular military. John Murtha has been out time after time saying, listen, I've been to the generals. I've told them, don't come to Congress looking for appropriations for new stuff because you're not going to get it because we can't afford it.
One more thing. I don't know how much time you have.
You got as much time as you want, David. I'm not kidding.
One more thing. Well, the thing that I want to mention also is that we need to stop listening to pundits and reporters and armchair journalists. We need to start. I know this is it's cliche because we do it anyways. But there's. I'm going to send you a page that lists a bunch of links to Lebanese blogs.
Oh, I've read it.
Oh, you've read all those?
Yeah.
Well, if you look at all those, I don't know if you've been to lettersapart.blogspot.com. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one. I like just like listening to the normal citizen on the street and his perspective. And it just seems to me that more and more people, more and more, if Israel does this, it's going to be a genocide, and there's no way they're going to, there's no way they're going to come back from it. No matter what kind of press you have, they're just going to have all these civilian counts.
Well, see, Israel has stared into the abyss, and the abyss has stared back and spat.
I mean, but at the same time, it's like look at the disproportionate citizen count. It's going to continue like this.
Yeah, it's running about 100 Lebanese civilians for every Israeli.
And you know what this is doing? This is waking up the whole Middle East, even with the people who are with Israel in the Middle Eastern region, whoever it was with, I don't know who is or what kind of relations they had directly, but that's shattering those relationships as we speak every single day. And I don't understand how you can just sit there and be like, well, we're going to campaign and bomb, and, well, there's not going to be any after effects for this. We have the biggest military. We don't have to worry. Like hell you don't.
Well, yeah, they do.
I know. They have to worry a lot.
I mean, this is, I guess the ultimate thinking on the part of the Israelis is, ultimately, we're going to win because we've got nukes and they don't. And at the end of the day, we can reduce the entire region to glass rather than be pushed into the sea.
I'm really curious to see what kind of chemical weapons Israel has unleashed on Lebanon and nobody's talking about.
Well, I saw one of those photographs.
What is that?
I saw a photograph today that claimed it was a photograph of an Israeli soldier loading a chemical shell.
And I'm sure the reason why there aren't that many pictures, Bob, is because it is dangerous, risky business trying to get any kind of visual.
Well, but the thing, I personally don't think that they're using it. I don't. I really don't. Because there was a lesson learned in World War I. And that is that, you know, you use poison gas, and poison gas with a quick shift of the wind can be your own death as opposed to that of the opposing troops. I mean, the Iraqis and the Iranians learned that in the 1980s war that they had. You know, one minute you're lobbing shells into the other side, and everybody's getting gas, the wind shifts, and the guy that pulled the lanyard's dead.
You know, As much as people like to think that Israel is this all righteous and all biblical and we have God on our side nation, I just keep coming back to this. The kind of overhead that it makes to make these attacks and to do it over and over again, I think Muslims win hands down. Muslim extremists win hands down. They're using cheap rockets just to distract you. How many of the Hezbollah have they killed? And even if they've killed a lot, you got a recruiting center right there.
Well, at least with every shell that falls, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, we hit that.
And
you're absolutely correct.
And I tell you, what is it going to make? If they don't want their holy cities attacked, Israel has to wake up right now and has to realize their holy cities and their holy landmarks are going to be attacked the more Lebanon landmarks you destroy.
Well, see, that's where you may be just a little bit mistaken because... the one thing is Jerusalem is contested property.
Okay.
And while the Wailing Wall is there and the Temple Mount, on top of it sits the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. I don't think the Muslim world is willing to put that into play.
I'm actually wondering what the United States presence is like in Lebanon right now, if they're shooting civilians or any of that, and if that's going to be reported and how that's going to...
Well, you know that, I mean, there's a million stories in this whole thing, David. Like I said, a couple of days ago, I started getting word that while France and Italy and other nations were evacuating their people from Beirut and from Lebanon in general and just focusing on getting them the hell out of there, the Bush State Department was demanding that any evacuee going out on the cruise ship or whatever, that they sign an $800 promissory note. No kidding. And I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it affirmatively refuted, and it's been all the people have been asked on mainstream television about it, and the only answer you, well, I don't know, but I know if you dialed the State Department hotline, all you got was a thank you for calling the State Department. This call may be monitored for quality assurance.
Oh,
and it goes on as we press this button and press that button. Due to, you know, and this was 2 days ago, due to the tensions in Lebanon, it is a very dangerous place. Well, thank you. Your tax dollars at work. I'd never have known. You know, these people are inept. The evacuation of the American citizens and American nationals and from Lebanon, it's Katrina with falafel. It's another failure. It's an ARF. It's another Republican failure.
And they're just going to continue to fail. And we probably, as much as I'd like to see it, we're probably not going to take the House right now. If we look at the month coming up to the election and the fact that there just isn't that kind of... I don't know if Howard Dean's out there saying anything on Israel. I guess he's not.
It's right now, it's the third rail. The first thing in American politics, the first thing you have to say is, well, we certainly acknowledge the right of Israel to defend itself against terrorism. Everybody, Democrat, Republican, you got to say that first. You have to say that first. Even though Israel did all this over 2 captured soldiers and 9 dead ones. Again, it is a matter of swatting flies with sledgehammers. This is a full-on war. The Bush administration really did say, we're going to give them another week.
See, the problem is the reason why the Republicans keep going after the left is they got what they wanted, but they don't know they don't want it, and they keep asking for it. And it's like an addict. It's like, I got to have this drug, and then all of a sudden the side effects sink in, and you can't take it back.
Well, there's a whole dynamic going on here. Israel couldn't wage this war without the billions upon billions of dollars that pour out of the American treasury into the Israeli coffers every year. They couldn't wage this war, period. And frankly, if we're selling $2 billion worth of treasury bills a day to foreign nations to prop up the debt, we're not going to be able. We are not going to be financially able to continue to pour those billions into the Israeli treasury. Not for a lot longer. So, you know, the Republicans know that 2006 is critical. And, David, what they're doing, there's a reason this war is happening now. Because the congressional recess is coming in August, so Congress can't be expected to accomplish anything. And so they've got this nice little war heating up. That'll keep people diverted. We won't worry about when was the last time you heard something about Iraq?
That's a good question. I don't even know what the death toll in Iraq.
3,000 civilians dead in Iraq last month alone.
Last month alone?
Last month alone.
Think about it. Then you got to wonder if that total of, they said, what is it, 6,000 so far this month? So far this year, or 14,000?
Yeah, 14,000, 15,000.
These numbers are being fixed.
Yeah,
it's not adding up right there.
Well, the interesting thing is, we only start finding out about civilian deaths because there is this puppet government over there that has to count their own dead.
Well, you know, I bet you they don't count ones that are in the hospital that die.
Quite possibly.
I think that would be like the perfect way to. Even so, they're not skimming off enough numbers.
Another story that's out there. That I heard from one of I read from one of our listeners, I believe Eleni. Nobody knows it, but it turns out that Iraqi Kurds, nowhere on the evening news, Iraqi Kurds, David, are doing cross-border raids into Turkey. and they're killing Turks.
Well.
And the Turkish government, under extreme popular pressure, has said, we're ready to go in and wipe out this little hornet's nest that's threatening our national security. Interesting, it's the very same thing that Israel is doing.
Interesting. It's ethnic cleansing all taking place in the Middle East.
This is, we do not, you know, there was one element of truth in what the crazy old Rummy said, David. He said, oh, this is going to be a war of generations. You know what? It is. Because a very fragile thing has been smashed into a million pieces. The Kurds are the largest ethnic minority in the entire world that do not have a country of their own. And Turkey's not going to, and what would be Kurdistan includes Iraq. It includes Iran. It includes Turkey. And Turkey's not going to cede any property for a Kurdish state on their borders that's going to be a daily threat to their existence.
There's no turning back now. We better throw away our checkers board. And
the genie's out of the daggum bottle, David.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We have to curb some of the negativity coming around and hope for the best, but realize at the same time there isn't going to be that much best. Just get what we can out of it.
I hate to say it. I'm getting really negative and really scared about all of this because, David, the fundamental problem we have in all of this is that the one person that the world would look to help sort this out is utterly and absolutely disengaged and disinterested. That is George W. Bush. This could all be stopped. This could be stopped with a phone call. Because you know what? Like I said, Israel could not pull this off without the support of the United States. And if we had a president who would pick up the phone, call Ehud Olmert, and say, it stops now or the money stops, it would end. Missiles would be diverted into the water.
On that note, my battery's running low, and I just have this to say. At least we have an electric car that goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Attaboy, David. Find that silver lining. Thanks so much. Thanks for the many, many, many interesting topics. I appreciate it.
No problem, Bob. I'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
Have a good one.
Bye now. Our friend David in Maine, who is, he's taking up the challenge. He's challenging right-wing nut talkers. And he's making some significant sense. But think about it. This does not have to happen. 100 Lebanese civilians don't have to die for every Israeli. I mean, that's a positively barbaric Roman kind of number. You remember the story of Masada? Where the last Jewish zealots went up to the mountaintop fortress that had been built by Herod and walled themselves in. And at that point in time, there was full-scale rebellion, and the Jewish people wanted their own state and wanted to be free, quote unquote. And so they started killing Roman soldiers, and Rome just responded by saying, "Well, okay, for every one of us you kill, we're going to kill 10 of yours." And they did it indiscriminately. It was barbaric. And we look back on it and we realize what a horror that was. Because it is certainly nothing that we would call civilized in the 21st century. But here we are. 100 Lebanese civilians, 100 Lebanese mothers, 100 Lebanese babies. Ooh, 100 pregnant Lebanese women die for every Israeli killed. And Bill Maher says, "I'm proud to finally be able to say that's my president." I don't know if I can ever. I mean, I used to enjoy the show. I don't think I can ever watch Bill Maher again. Slaughter, Mr. Maher, is slaughter. It's slaughter whether Israelis are doing it to Lebanese, and it's slaughter whether Hezbollah guerrillas are doing it to Israelis. Oh, well, Bob, you know, but UN 1559 said that it was Lebanon's job to drive Hezbollah out. Oh, horse hockey. That was a deal breaker that was built into the stinking resolution. If anybody, if Hezbollah needed to be driven out, it needed to be driven out by a multinational force because Lebanon was incapable of doing so. Lebanon has a 70,000-man army that is split down the middle between Christians and Muslims. And among the Muslims, there are Shia, there are Sunni, Sufi, God knows what. They go in to run out Hezbollah. Welcome back to civil war. You thought it was good the first time through. Oh, it'll be even better this time around. Lebanon has a duty to run Hezbollah out. Talk about real-world solutions. Where is the discussion of the rape of Marwaheen? You don't know about Marwaheen? Marwaheen is a village near the Israeli border. Israeli military leafleted the town and said, "Get out. Leave your homes. Go fast. Be gone by 6 p.m. because then hell is going to open wide and we're going to be the ones with the can opener that does it." And so people, you know, I mean, it includes specific, the leaflet included specific instructions, things like, you may only take one suitcase. But these people living in southern Lebanon, they've been, they know, they've seen this movie. And they took the Israelis very seriously. And they left. They left by car, they left on foot, they left by any means possible. And what happened? On the road out of Marwaheen, cars were backed up. You know, it's kind of like that when you've got a refugee crisis going on. Traffic flow isn't quite what you'd like for it to be. And those people who had been dispossessed and told to leave their homes, who had been told that they had no homes any longer, that they were part of the riffraff of the world cast adrift, because Ehud Olmert had lost his patience. Just like Dear Leader lost his patience in March 2003. Those clogged roads with the helpless and the hopeless of Marwaheen. An American-made F-16 bomber piloted by a well-trained Israeli pilot flew over that traffic jam and bombed every car on it. There are pictures out there. You can see the little baby who was blown out of the automobile, laying face down in the dust, and in the charred wreckage of the automobile, the crispy critter corpses of its parents. Congratulations, America. You helped pay for that F-16. You helped pay for that bomb. Congratulations, right-wing America. Congratulations, pro-life America. You pro-lifers helped retroactively abort that little Lebanese baby. Oh, Lucy, you got a lot of splaining to do. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Yeah. the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. The clashes between Israel and Hezbollah are now in their ninth day. Israel is urging residents of southern Lebanon to evacuate, possibly indicating an all-out attack. CNN is reporting that two Israeli helicopters collided over northern Israel today with an unknown number of casualties. An unknown number of Israeli soldiers were also killed today in clashes with Hezbollah guerrillas in southern Lebanon. In Beirut, U.S. Marines continue helping with evacuation efforts. State Department officials say more than 2,200 Americans left Lebanon today, bringing the total number of American evacuees to 3,850. It's being called the largest international evacuation effort since World War II. In Washington, the House has passed a resolution that supports Israel and holds Syria and Iran responsible for supporting Hezbollah. The Senate passed a similar measure on Tuesday. At the United Nations, Secretary General Kofi Annan is calling for an immediate halt to the two-week-old violence. He condemned Israel for using excessive force, but also said Hezbollah's abduction of two Israeli soldiers resulted in holding all of Lebanon hostage. Across Iraq today, two U.S. soldiers and at least 12 others were killed in violent attacks. Today, the top Shiite cleric told his followers to stop retaliating against the Sunnis. His statement comes as the U.S. military estimated that daily violence in Baghdad has jumped 40%. In Tehran, an Iranian security agency said that the country will respond by August 22nd to the package of incentives aimed at halting its nuclear work. The agency also warned that Iran may withdraw from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty if the U.N. follows through with a resolution that condemns the country. On Capitol Hill today, a government official announced at a Senate hearing that at least one Iranian witnessed North Korea's recent missile launches. Experts say Iran's missile is based on a North Korean design. Also on Capitol Hill, the Senate has voted to renew the Civil Rights-era Voting Rights Act for another 25 years. Passed in 1965, the law allowed millions of minorities to vote. Last week, the House passed a bill which now heads to President Bush. In San Francisco, a federal judge is allowing a lawsuit against AT&T to go forward. A privacy rights group sued the company, saying it illegally cooperated with the U.S. government's domestic spying program. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Microsoft says it hopes to buy back $20 billion in stocks by mid-August. The company reported fourth quarter earnings dropped nearly 24%, but still beat Wall Street estimates. Ford has reported a worse-than-expected second-quarter loss of $123 million. The company blames fewer sales of SUVs and costs associated with personnel layoffs. Google reported better-than-expected second-quarter earnings of $721 million. Yesterday, rival Yahoo lost 22% of its stock value, or about $10 billion, after announcing a change in its advertising formula will be delayed. Freddie Mac reports that the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.8%. That's the highest it's been in 4 years. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress today that the cooling housing market could contribute to slower economic activity overall. The Labor Department reports that 304,000 Americans filed for jobless benefits last week, 30,000 fewer than the week earlier. Meanwhile, employers reported that 121,000 jobs were added in June, a smaller number than economists had predicted. Light sweet crude settled at $73.08 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 83 points at 10,928. NASDAQ down 41 points at 2039, S&P 500 down 11 points at 1249. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
The Thursday evening edition continues. I'm Bob. And I want to bring things back closer to home now. As I mentioned earlier, in our conversation with David, we have a real problem in this country with a Republican Congress that's very fond of things like do as we say, not as we do. We have an FCC that will punish a family-owned TV or radio station to the tune of $325,000 for the same word that the President of the United States used on an open mic just a couple of days ago. And now, in the last week, the morality brigade of the House of Representatives, consisting mainly of Republicans, has decided that you can't play online poker anymore. And they want to make that stick. And we're joined right now by Adam Small from PocketFives.com. Adam, are you with me?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, you run or your organization provides online poker to it's one of the largest communities doing that on the internet. Is that correct?
Right. Actually, no one actually plays poker on our site. We're just kind of a discussion forum and a kind of a support group and community for online players. We talk about who the top players are on the internet. We talk about just issues relating to online poker, which sites are best. That's pretty much what PocketFives.com does.
Okay, so it's more of a critique site in many ways. It's a way for players to get together and talk about their experiences.
Exactly, yeah.
How long have you been online?
We've been doing it for about 19 months now, I guess. About 18, 19 months.
Are you located in the U.S.?
We are. We are located in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually originally from Charleston, West Virginia.
Are you really?
On the show.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We're building a little progressive conversation right here in Fayette County. You probably know where we are.
I've been there many times.
And it's a pleasure to have you on the program, Adam. Is it as I say? Is this just a classic case of do as I say and not as I do?
I think it's something along those lines, but I think it's more a case of people saying, well, we approve of certain activities and disapprove of others, and you know, we're gonna ban the activities we disapprove of. We're gonna take the easy way out. There's clearly there are problems out there associated with gambling. There are people that are getting in over their heads and making big mistakes, and we really are trying to push people towards viewing the solution process as one that attacks the problems rather than attacking the entire industry. And what they're trying to do is just get rid of online poker.
But interestingly, in this legislation, tell me if I'm incorrect, in this legislation, online poker is wrong, but online horse race betting is okay.
That is right on, yeah.
Well, that's just a little crazy. I mean, is that the effect of K Street? Is that a lobbying effort on the part of the horse racing industry? I guess dog racing online's okay too, isn't it?
I'm not sure about dog racing, but I mean, I think you're exactly right about the lobbying. I mean, clearly there's a big American lobby out there for online horse racing. Most of the horse racing industry, I believe, is based within the U.S. And, you know, it's a difference between, I guess, a bunch of good old boys in Kentucky that want horse racing to be legal and maybe some people that are based offshore or in more obscure places that are promoting the online gambling of other sorts, and they just don't have their voice heard or their money getting into the right places to get what they want from Congress.
Yeah, I think it's that latter part about the money gotten, you know, if the skids get greased, you know, things run pretty smoothly in Washington. What kind of, well, let's talk a little bit. So people who do who play poker and stuff come to pocketfives.com from all over the world?
Right. Yeah. I mean, most of our user base is American, but we definitely have a pretty decent percent of the people are from really all over the place. We've got people from Australia, people from various European countries, from Brazil, kind of all over. And, I mean, online poker, half the people in the world playing are in the U.S. So, and because our site is an English-only site, it's a really big percentage of what we're doing.
And these people, I mean, these people aren't criminals.
No, not. I mean, these people are some of the... I've met a lot of these people in person. I've been on a lot of big poker trips and met a lot of these online players. Most of them are not only much nicer and more harmless people than most people that I would meet, they're also, a lot of them are extremely well-educated and successful in other walks of life. And we've got all kinds of big business owners, even some relative celebrities in other fields that just really like to play online poker and like to do it as a hobby, or even some of them do it for extra income. But certainly,
well, there are certainly people. Yeah, there are certainly places out there where you can play and no money changes hands.
Right. Yeah. I think there's something like 2 to 3 times as many people playing for free on the internet as there are playing for real money.
And of course, it's a real fad in this country right now. I remember when, the late 90s when everybody went crazy and became a cigar smoker.
What people like to do now.
Yeah, and it's I go way back to college. You know, I went to WVU, and you know we had a Thursday night poker game. You know, nobody went away. You know, losing their shirt or anything, but you know, nickel ante, quarter ante, whatever. And it was fun. It was enjoyable. You know, the guys and yeah, the cigars and what is it in this congressional attitude that says that this is somehow dangerous to America? Because I mean, you know, that's I've heard it. That's the kind of garbage that was put out there in the debate. Oh, it's bad for America.
I think, and I might be going out on a line saying this, but there's certainly a lot of people that agree with me. I think the biggest qualm that they have with it is that it's, the money is all going out to offshore companies that's being made in this industry. Because it's illegal to run a gambling establishment within the U.S. online, all this money that's being made, it's something like a $12 billion a year industry. It's all going to offshore companies, European, Canadian, just all over the place. And I think the U.S. is not really happy about the quote-unquote drain of the economy that this is causing. But, I mean, this is, again, why we think it would just be a much better solution for the U.S. to just regulate this industry, like countries like England have done, where there are publicly traded companies in England that do this. If the U.S. were to regulate it, they would bring in a ton of revenue, I mean, billions of dollars. They would also have the greater trust of the American citizens. Because people in America, it's just a fact, they're more likely to trust American companies. They're more likely to feel safe and confident when they can actually walk into the office of a company in their country and talk to somebody. And we think this industry could really go a long way if they were to regulate it and tax it, both for the U.S., for the consumers here, and just for poker in general. We really think, I mean, I really think that the industry would thrive under U.S. regulation.
Well, this thing cleared the House, right?
Right, it did.
And so it goes to the Senate? Is that where your fight is now?
It is. I mean, I think there is, as I understand it, it's got to go through some sort of committee hearing, and then it will make it to the floor.
Or not.
And yeah, or not. And, of course, it all has to be done before the election takes place, or else the bill gets reset or thrown out. I don't know exactly what the word is for a bill that doesn't make it to the floor before the election.
Well, we're seeing a lot of these cultural issues come out, and God knows we've seen it time after time after time, whether it's gay marriage or abortion or John Kerry's going to get your Bible. Is this part of the same thing, that emotional, that you know, way of getting out the right wingers and bringing out the morality crowd?
I think on some level it is. I would agree that some of those issues are along the same line. Some of them are more emotional and less cultural. But I think certainly the gay marriage issue is a really good comparison, just because these are people, again, without going too far off on a tangent here, again, you're just talking about people that are making a private decision to do something that doesn't affect other people. It's just it's their own decision that, that works within their family. And, I mean, I feel, again, that that's an overstep of personal liberties and bounds. But, you know, back on subject, I mean, I think the poker thing, what they're basically, what some of these guys, the more sincere Republican leaders that are involved in this, like Bob Goodlatte, really believe that families are being hurt. And then most of the rest of them just believe, one, this is hurting us in terms of revenue because we're not making money off it, and two, what a great way to reach out to my, yes, conservative, social conservative base by just showing them that you're going to ban activities that they may not approve of.
I find it interesting that they would be concerned about revenue because, after all, the Republican Party doesn't believe in taxation in the first place,
right.
You know, unless it's something convenient. I mean, forgive me, but I don't have a lot of regard for them. You know, you talk about the more sincere Republicans that saying, you know, this is hurting the American family. You know, Adam, I would be inclined to ask one of those guys, okay, well, you reckon it hurts an American family to send daddy off to Iraq and have his pieces sent back home?
Oh,
I mean, I'm thinking that hurts more American families than somebody playing Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, they're very clearly, they're picking winners and losers, that's for sure. I mean, it's clearly an agenda. It's, you know, it's issues of finding ways to appeal to people by showing them kind of what you're about, and I understand that.
Well, where are the major, you know, the Bally's and the major Las Vegas casino operator players on this? Are they for you or against you?
They are now, I believe most of them are in our favor. They were originally against us because I think they felt that online gaming was cutting into their revenue, but I think now they realize just how many people have gotten interested in poker because of playing online, and how many of them have ended up in Vegas or ended up in Atlantic City because of that interest. I mean, they just, the business has to be booming for them. And I think what they really want, clearly the best solution for them would be regulation, because, I mean, can you imagine Harrah's having an online casino and you could play on Harrah's for a few hours and maybe get a casino comp where you get to
right.
get a flight out to Vegas and stay in their hotel or something. I mean, they could do unbelievable things.
Oh, there's a cross-promotion opportunity there that just won't quit.
Yeah, it's got to be really, really eating at those guys if they don't have that opportunity.
Well, it makes me wonder just where our nation is, Adam. Because there are a million, you know, we had the stem cell veto yesterday, and as a concept, but still, the House of Representatives has time to sit around worrying about whether some guy's sitting in his rec room. Well, again, it's mostly Texas Hold'em these days, isn't it?
Yeah, there are other games that are getting big at times, but I think Texas Hold'em is a game that keeps people's interest. It's a game that a lot of people can have short-term success at without having studied real hard in the game. Now, if you play thousands and thousands of hands, you're going to have the same luck as everyone else does, and everything's going to even out for you. But a lot of people can play this game and get dealt a big hand or do well in a short game and really enjoy it. And I think that's the great draw of Texas Hold'em and the reason that the interest is just booming so much.
Well, tell me, what is the origin of the name of your company, Pocket Fives?
PocketFives.com is a sort of a household name, I guess you would say. We spent probably, I want to say we spent 3 or 4 months trying to figure out the name of our site, and we had some really lame names. I mean, some of them were just, you know, like CardinalPoker.com, just stuff like that. It's just not ever going to stick out. And finally, PocketFives.com came out one day, and it just sounded great. Pocket Fives is kind of known as a mythical hand in poker, obviously just kind of more legendary than anything else. It was Lee Lucky. We all of us math experts know that's not true, but we always just kind of like to talk about Pocket Fives and say presto. It's kind of crazy to say when you see Pocket Fives. And we just thought it would really stick out. You start a site named something that's a little bit different than all the other sites out there, and people will remember it. And fortunately, it's really kind of given us a mainstay in the poker community.
Adam, what happens if this bill becomes law? What happens to Pocket Fives?
I am not sure. We are in the process of working that out, actually. We obviously really don't want this bill to become law, but our company is going to keep on going if this bill becomes law. We may have to move offshore. We may have to take any number of actions, but we're going to keep doing this because this is what we love to do. We love interacting with poker players. We love being a part of this community, and we're just not ready to give up on it. And so Pocket5s.com is going to go on.
Well, within, I guess, perhaps more importantly to the everyday player, what happens if the Republican Congress gets their way and it becomes illegal to play online poker? What happens to the average American who says, you know, I'm going to play a hand online and goes to an offshore site? Does Homeland Security descend on him and he winds up in Guantanamo in an orange suit?
I don't think so. Cardplayer.com, which is one of our sort of colleagues in the industry, I guess, is really big and successful one, by the way, posted an article recently after the House passed this bill, basically talking about how this bill affects the online player. And what they said is, more or less, there is nothing in this bill said about players, nothing at all. It's all focused on companies. And this bill is not making it illegal for players to play online poker. It's making it illegal, as it already is, for companies to allow wagers from American bettors online.
Are there any provisions in there about, say, credit card transactions or trackbacks or anything like that?
Well, they're not allowing U.S. credit cards and banks to make transactions to these gaming companies. The thing about it is no one does that anyway. No one's done that for about 3 years. There was something that happened about 3 years ago. These sites used to take credit card transactions, and one site, an informative site, not a poker site, posted that if you made a credit card deposit and you lost all your money and then you canceled your credit card transaction, you could rip the sites off, basically. And all these people started doing that, and these sites lost all this money as a big controversy. And pretty much ever since then, nobody has been able to deposit. I mean, there every now and then you find some credit card that you can get a deposit to a site from, but for the most part, you have to go through an online intermediary, basically an offshore online bank. Mm-hmm. A couple of the big ones are NetTeller and FirePay. And, I mean, that's really how everyone deposits now. So all that stuff about not being able to place wagers with credit cards, or they actually, the way they talk about it in Congress, they say it like you're actually using your credit card to make a bet. Like, I bet $60, and that's a $60 charge to your credit card. That is not reality. That is the word spoken from people that have no experience in the industry.
Well, that would be logistically almost impossible, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, you'd be running a credit card. It comes around to you, and you decide to raise. And okay, there's another $25 on your credit.
That seems ridiculous, and that's what they think. I mean, they don't understand what's going on. And no credit card wants to be giving people credit card transactions for gambling. So the credit cards pretty quickly wised up that wasn't a good idea, and now you have to actually have the money. You cannot go into debt from gambling online.
It almost seems like that would be a form of protection against, at least a level of protection against problem gambling.
Yeah, it is. There are actually quite a number of levels of protections that the government doesn't want you to know about while they're pumping this bill. Some of them include the fact that it is actually pretty difficult to get an online gambling account. Also, you have to adhere to deposit limits. You can't deposit more than a certain amount in a day. You can't deposit more than a certain amount in a week or a month. And if a site is told that you are a problem gambler, like if you were to alert a site, I've got a problem, or if they were to even suspect it, sometimes they just shut your account down entirely and just say, you know what, if there's evidence you're a problem gambler, we're not going to let you on our site. Same with being underage, same with things like cheating and collusion. And these sites have very high levels of security. Some of them are making hundreds of millions of dollars or even billions and they're spending a lot of it to make sure that the game is safe and fair for people that are getting involved.
I would think that there would have to be an incredible level of computer security. I mean, are there hacking issues involved or anything? I'm trying to figure out some way that this legislation is something besides an abject knee-jerk pander to the values voter piece of garbage.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to provide you with the reason that it's not that, because that in my mind that's what it is. I don't see any real legitimate reason to ban online poker.
Well, given the fact that the bill has already cleared the House,
yeah,
and is in the Senate, if people, and see, I consider this a personal freedom issue.
I absolutely do.
I hold myself out as a liberal and a progressive, but I also, I've been accused of having a libertarian streak. I don't associate myself with them, but I believe that what you do in the privacy of your own home that harms no other person is strictly your business, and I extend that to online gaming. I extend that to reading what you want to read. I extend that to drinking what you want to drink, smoking what you want to smoke. If it's not hurting anybody, it's not hurting the government.
Right. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And that was, I guess, it was something I said. I was on another radio show pretty recently and was talking about who all should be concerned about this. And my feeling on it is, if you enjoy any activity that other people don't agree with or that other people look down upon, but that you don't feel you're putting other people in danger, you're not putting other people in danger, you should be concerned about this, because, you know, there's always more freedom the government can take away from you. There's always some new activity that's going to be the next hot button issue that they're going to be going after. And if you're not concerned because you don't play online poker, then you're not thinking very hard about your own freedom.
You're not outside the box, are you?
Right. You're not. And I mean, there's a lot they can do. They're going to come after people who are doing things that they think voters will disapprove of. And, you know, it could be you next.
Well,
I mean, we really encourage people to write your senators and say, don't vote for this bill. Don't infringe on people's personal liberties.
Well, that was the next question. Is there any kind of timetable on this thing in the Senate?
There's not. I think the Senate is one of the hardest to predict and read things out there. It seems almost impossible to have any idea what day they're going to do anything. So we're kind of, we're very up in the air on what's going on there.
Well, and we concern ourselves from time to time, Adam, with issues of net neutrality. And I don't have to look very hard to see where what would arguably be a very isolated issue, online gambling, where an intrusion into that could insinuate itself into other areas of our online existence. For instance, we already know that the phone companies, with the exception of Quest out west, gladly complied and was complicit with Congress in spying on you, in spying on me, in spying on potentially every single American who picked up a telephone. If the telecom providers were willing to do that, if Congress looked at them and said, and now you will track people's, you know, oh my God, if they go to an offshore gaming site, you'll provide us that data. The legislation says that they're not going to punish anybody. But, you know, the legislation says they're not allowed to spy on us either.
Right. I mean, it's very scary, actually. And this kind of leads me to another thing on all this, too, talking about net neutrality. I mean, they're actually talking about Bob Goodlatte. Some of these guys want to actually ban people in the U.S. from viewing these websites, the online gaming websites. They want to ban U.S. access to them.
Kind of like China does.
I mean, yeah, that's outright scary to me. Not just from my own personal desire to be able to get to these sites and to be able to promote them, but just in general, I don't like the idea of content being censored from me. Like, I have the ability to make up my own mind about what is appropriate and what is not when I go to a website. And there are much more horrible websites out there than online gambling. I've been to
most website. Of them are visited by Republicans, I might add. I'm sorry, that was very partisan.
Oh, no, it's fine. There's a website, GodHatesYouKnowWhat.com. I'm sure you've heard of it before.
We've talked about it a million times. One of the nastiest places on the net.
It is absolutely disgusting. And this is fine because it's not, the content of that site is not fine with me, but the fact that it's posted is, because these people, as disgusting as I find them, as perverse as they are, have a right to post their opinions on the web.
Another good example, Stormfront.
What is it?
Stormfront. Panzerfaust, white supremacists, Nazis, Klansmen. It, you know, it's the net can be a very, very nasty place.
It can.
But the minute you start saying, well, this is nasty, this one's nastier, oh, look, that's almost as nasty. We need everything that's, you know, and we're going to shut that down. The whole net dies then.
Right. I mean, it scares me that one day I might want to read a Kurt Vonnegut article or something like that. And all of a sudden, George Bush and Bill Frist have said, I can't read a Kurt Vonnegut article anymore because he says that we're going to run out of oil, and they don't want people thinking that. You know, I mean, what's next?
Well, what's next? My network is next. I mean, these are real concerns. So, you know, Adam, I hope you will consider us a friend in this fight. If you've got a website that people can go to where maybe they can download some information, they can use it to educate themselves, or more importantly, use it to educate their senators, let us know. I mean, do you have anything up at Poker Fives about this? Or Pocket Fives, I'm sorry.
No problem. We got a couple things. First of all, I want to tell everyone about something we did about a month ago, which was Write Your Congressman Day. And now we would change it to Write Your Senator's Day. We're probably going to have another big blast, where we just encouraged, we had something like 2,000 people in one day write their senators and their congressmen pleading for them not to vote for this bill. And we're going to have another Write Your Senators Day coming up, where we have a form letter and make it really easy for people to just send a very quick email to their senators saying, please reconsider this. And in addition, there's a website called PokerPlayersAlliance.org, PokerPlayersAlliance.org. It is the main lobby group that is fighting this, and we want to see Poker Players Alliance get huge because we think that they've got the ability to, they're based in Washington, they've got the ability to at least talk to these senators face-to-face, get the big-name players involved. Howard Lederer is actually on their board, who's a really big-name poker player a lot of people have seen on TV, and just get in there and show them that there's more to this than just people taking each other's money and families going broke or whatever they claim is happening. There's just a whole lot more to it, and we want to get that word out there. We want to show them that there's more than one side of this fight.
Well, I hope that we can help you do that. PokerPlayersAlliance.org and, of course, PocketFives.com. I will be with you in this fight because frankly I think that people, whether they play poker or not, whether they're interested in poker or not, if you're interested in civil liberties, if you're interested in maintaining your freedom and keeping the camel's nose out from under the tent, I think your fight is my fight.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate that.
You have yourself a great evening, and thanks for calling in. And by all means, I wish you the most success you can possibly have, Adam.
Thanks so much. It was great to be on the show.
Take care.
You too.
Bye. Adam Small from PocketFives.com. I just looked at, during the interview, the conversation. I don't interview people. We do conversations. I looked at the website. It's a resource. It's a resource like any other sort of resource. But, of course, this resource will be is jeopardized by hypocritical, right-wing, holier-than-thou, Bill Bennett sitting in the chair, naked as the day he was born, in a private suite in Vegas, playing the one-armed bandit, writing the book called The Book of Virtues, and telling you how to live your life while he does his... But you get the idea. Okay, it's time for a break. When we come back, your phone calls are, of course, welcome. 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. Email, yeah. Bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
A law in Maryland that would have required big box stores, such as Walmart, to spend more on health care has been overturned by a U.S. District Court judge. The judge ruled in the case that the law would have hurt Walmart by making it track employees differently than how it does in other states. He called the law an injury upon the company. The organization, WakeUpWalmart.com, has been waging a campaign to pass similar legislation in other states. Paul Blank is the campaign director.
We were deeply disappointed by the district court's decision because it flies in the face of public opinion. Just a poll last week found that 77% of Maryland voters support requiring companies like Walmart that are very large and profitable to pay their fair share for their employees' health care.
Blank said that the Maryland State Attorney General is looking into options for a possible appeal. But in the meantime, the ruling won't stop Wake Up Walmart's national campaign.
If you look at every state that we have data in, Walmart has the most number of employees and dependents using state taxpayer-funded public assistance programs. That's not surprising, given that the average Walmart worker makes $15,000 a year. The campaign to change Walmart and to build public pressure to fight for health care for all will continue.
What if Congress really represented working people? Michigan Democratic Congressman John Conyers wants to see Congress actually do that, from creating a national universal health care system to passing corporate bankruptcy laws that protect workers. Conyers says collective bargaining is under attack and the U.S. auto industry is in deep trouble.
Collective bargaining gets weaker and weaker. Fewer and fewer people are in unions, and that's because of the hostility, virulent hostility, that the corporations and frequently the government standing by passively doing nothing to help us out.
Congress, he says, should respond by overhauling trade laws and protecting workers from destructive global trade policies.
Our policies that encourage corporations relocating outside of the country to find cheaper labor market are all going to come back and haunt us in the end. We might be benefiting the corporations, but we're destroying citizens, workers, families, communities.
Here is today's economic report. A new study shows that individuals living in poor urban areas are likely to be paying a so-called ghetto tax. According to the Brookings Institute study, drivers in big city low-income areas pay $400 more on average for a year of insurance, even if they have the same driving record and identical car as an individual in a middle-class neighborhood. The poor are also more likely to rent to own furniture and appliances, and in the end will often end up paying more. For example, in the state of Wisconsin, some are paying $700 for a $200 television.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
In college, the weekend started on Thursday. I remember when weekends started on Thursday. I remember when the hottest night at the dance club was Thursday night. Oh, yeah. I remember it well.
No, we're having DJ week.
Well, okay.
The link is on our site.
See,
this
I'm
is excellent
there.
Music, because this is where the listeners are important. We're not important. We're just here. You guys are important. The music you send us, the things you do for us, we greatly appreciate. Thanks, guys.
Well, I still think it's like Thursday night, early weekend dance club stuff.
It's wonderful.
I'm ready to party. 20 minutes before the hour. You know, back in college, you know, we had the among other things, the Thursday night poker game. couple hours of poker and head out to the dance joints. But it was always dealer's choice. And the one thing I hated about dealer's choice was that, you know, you'd have the guy, you know, okay, five card draw, jacks are better, trips to win, you know, pot builder, fun game. The guy that likes to play five card stud, the guy that likes to play seven card stud, and invariably, as the thing came around, you'd hit one of those guys who wants to play night baseball. You ever play? Yeah, night baseball. Where threes, sixes, and nines are wild, or the axe headed jack. I hate that. See, I guess I'm kind of a purist. And a little bit of email rolls in, backing up to my original question of making the leaders make the peace instead of making the innocents suffer. Our good friend Marty writes in and says, remember the movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? Two men enter, one man leaves.
My favorite movie. One of them.
But, does one man have a, like, midget on his back or something? Do you remember? No, I'll stop
yes.
it. Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it. So I don't... Well, I hope you get it, and I know you do. I hope you see... And this goes back to something I said earlier. We've got to have issue identification, and we've got to be brave enough to stand out there and call these freaks when they start doing mean, self-righteous crap like, you know, this, banning online poker. Look, I consider the lottery a voluntary tax upon the stupid, and I occasionally am a member of the stupid. I love the fact that people will, with the Powerball, for instance, people will say, I'm not going to play Powerball this week. It's only worth $10 million. I mean, if you took the cash straight away, they wouldn't give you but three. Oh, well, it's only $3 million. I won't play then. No, we're only going to play if it's $350 million. You know, like I said, it's a voluntary tax on the stupids. It's also my retirement plan at this point in time. But look at what it is. I mean, no, this isn't some religious freak losing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Where do you think the support for this bill and the support did? It poured in. It poured into the right-wing Republicans, and they stood there. You can go back and look at it. They stood there and they said, this is another assault on the American family. Little children out in America are going without dinner because daddy can't tear himself away from the computer. Because daddy's playing Texas Hold'em day and night or Omaha High-Low. Daddy spends his paycheck on online poker. He's out there and he's got that Visa card. And he's calling up and say, roll him again. You think I'm kidding? It happened on the floor of the House, and you mark my words, it happened in the right-wing religion industry gospel sharp houses all over the country. Now, people like one of my personal heroes, Barney Frank, I hope to have him on the show here sometime soon. Barney Frank came out and said, this is crazy. Because it is. But if you live in a family value state, even if you're a Democrat, you probably had to come out and say, oh, the American family, I stand with the American family. Let's all say the Pledge of Allegiance while we ban online poker. I hate pandering. Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, I hate pandering. I want honest political discourse in this country so bad I can taste it. And I'll tell you a secret. You're not going to get a blessed dollop of it until you get rid of the Republican majorities in the House and in the Senate. Am I suggesting that Democrats are perfect? No. No, not by a long shot, I'm not. But if you have a Democratic majority in the House, you've got a much better chance of seeing brave political philosophy, brave political action, than what you have now. Look at what we've been put through. Look at the Bush family. Look at Jeb Bush, who stood up for a brain dead woman, Terry Schiavo, and his brother has now come out in favor of snowflake babies over people who are really suffering. Look at this. The culture of life is embracing death. It's that simple. Have you followed the story about Terry Schiavo's nurse? Now, we talked about the brave nurses and the brave physician who worked in hellish conditions during Katrina trying to save people. And now the other side of that coin, you know, the two nurses and a doctor charged with second-degree murder over deaths that occurred when hospital facilities and infrastructure had completely collapsed. Well, the other side of that is Terry Schiavo's nurse. You remember Terry Schiavo's nurse, don't you?
The liar.
The one that came out and said, Terry talks to me every day, praise Jesus. She says, Mama. Mama is what she says. And when I walk around the room, she follows me with her eyes. She does. She does. Because Jesus is inside her. And that Michael Schiavo, you know what he does? He comes in and puts a pillow over her head. He does. I called him. And he gives her too much insulin. I saved the bottle. And did all of this crap. Nurse, could I speak with you for a moment?
Yes, doctor.
What happens to nurses who go out and make public pronouncements about the medical status of their charges?
That's a breach of the privacy law, and bad monkey, you lose your license.
Is it a breach of nursing ethics?
Yes.
Is it a breach of good standards and practices?
Yes.
Do nurses take oaths?
Yes.
Is it a breach of that?
Yes. Your patient's welfare comes first and foremost above everything else.
Even Jesus?
Even Jesus.
Okay, just checking. Do you know about Terry Schiavo's nurse?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if everybody else does. While these two nurses are being charged with second-degree murder in Louisiana, Terry Schiavo's nurse got what was coming to her. She was charged with breaching her nursing ethics.
And for what reason did she do that?
Jesus.
No, it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. It was to call attention to herself.
Yeah,
and to make money off of a woman who was brain dead.
Right, right. And frankly, that woman never needs to get anywhere near so much as a Band-Aid again and getting paid for it for the rest of her life, at least, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Right? I mean, are we on the same page, dear?
I agree that they ought to rip her license and never give it back to her.
Okay. Well, guess what? They tried to do that. The Department of Health and Human Services, or whatever the overarching body is in Florida that regulates the nursing profession, hauled this woman up on charges because she became a media whore. She was running a... I mean, do you remember the business of... I caught him with the insulin bottle. I did. You remember that? I remember that. And they were going to bring her up on charges, and they were going to yank her license. And she deserved to have it yanked. Well, now they're not. No. Now they're... Well, why? Why? You know why? This is the... God, it's so sleazy. Jeb Bush, personally, I can't make this up. Yeah, go read it for yourself. I'm not, look, I don't have to make this stuff up. It's too crazy not to be true. Jeb Bush, person, because somebody called, you know, Jeb, that nurse was a real good right to life, for now them liberals is trying to punish her for loving life and protecting life. Yes! So Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, picked up the phone and called the nursing board and said, lay off! If you know what's good for you, quit it. Don't harm this nurse. Leave her alone. This investigation is over because I'm the governor and I, by God, am a Bush and I said so. Guess what? The investigation is over.
Maybe she's taking care of Jeb's daughter.
Well, it depends on, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's Florida. Maybe, you know, maybe she's meeting somebody in the Denny's parking lot and getting flushes OxyContin. I don't know. I know it makes me sick.
Well, it seems strange that Jeb would take it upon himself to take care of her. Maybe, could it be that she was planted there to do all this all along?
Nah, that's a little too tinfoil helmet for my taste. No, she saw an opportunity to make a... But you remember, what's the other family's name, that creepy little dude and his creepy little mother and his creepy little father? Terry Schiavo's... mom and dad and sibling, whatever that. You remember what they did? People who typed in email messages say, "God bless you and God bless poor Terry." Do you remember what they did? They sold that list of emails
to get money.
Tony Perkins and David Duke's outfit.
Well, you have to understand, they wanted to keep their daughter alive, but didn't they arrest people who came down to literally martyrize Terry and bring her water? They tried to give her water,
Lord.
and the family knew that she couldn't even take the water.
The water would have drowned her.
The water would have drowned her. But that just goes to show they knew how badly she was off.
But they
still continued with that.
They had some kid diddling monk in a brown robe down there who was their spiritual advisor.
Be nice.
No, I'm not. There's no call for being nice in this. This nurse, you know, she was the one. You know, she was the one that went on live with the Hannity job, and said he tried to murder her. I saw him do it. I remember this. I'm sure you remember this. This is at the same time that they were talking about the catcher of life. And then yesterday, these children are not spare parts. No, no, dear leader, those children are not spare parts. Those children are stage props. Pure and simple. The people who are suffering and could be helped from stem cell research, dear leader, they're less than spare parts to you, you monster. So, you know, it all rolls. Would you trust a Republican member of Congress in an outhouse with a muzzle on? I remember our buddy Sam gave me that line, and I am forever in his debt for it. I wouldn't trust a Republican member of Congress in an outhouse with a muzzle on. Because, and by the way, in case you were wondering about the whole stem cell, you know that the veto override has already happened? Or the override vote? It has already happened. I was thinking, well, you know, the bill gets passed and it goes to the president and he has X number of days in which to sign it or veto it, or at the end of X number of days, it becomes law without his signature, you know, civics class stuff. And conversely, after a bill has been vetoed, Congress has X amount of time in which to attempt to override that veto. I don't know. Were you watching? I was kind of surprised. I looked over there at our good friends, WD40.com, D-U-B-Y-A, the letter D, 40, numerals, WD40.com, and there, you know, there it was. House fails to override stem cell veto. Now, I know that there is more than 24 hours time in which to attempt to override a veto in Congress from the moment of the signing. I know. I don't know what the full amount of time is. Somebody can more than welcome to enlighten me as to what that full time span is, but I know it's more than 24 hours. But in case you were wondering, in case you wondered at all whether or not, you know, maybe old Bob had just gone off the deep end and this wasn't really a fraud, and maybe some of these Republicans were more moderate than we give them credit for, and they really did want the bill to pass. No. The proof, sunshine, is in the pudding. They needed 6 votes in the Senate. I'm talking about the House. The House has already voted on the override, and the override failed. They didn't take a couple of days to go around and press the flesh and try to convince people otherwise. No. The House Republican leadership just had the damn vote and got it out of the way. See, we can't do nothing about it. Dear leader, done vetoed the bill. Oh, dang. Wrestling. It's wrestling. The Masked Marvel won this round over the Red Scare. But that's okay. Next time the Red Scare will beat the Masked Marvel. And in each instance, when it's all over, they'll go and sit down and have a drink together. Because it's fake. It's phony. And yeah, I did find out. The Republican senators who voted in favor of the stem cell bill, guess what? Yeah, up for re-election, sunshine. Wrestling. Please don't be conned. I don't mean to be a signpost toward a very cynical world. But for God's sakes, have your eyes open. This was a con. There is no such thing as a moderate Republican. They don't exist. Olympia Snow is a moderate Republican. Thanks. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. She showed us how moderate she was on Samuel Alito. You see. It's a con. Pure and simple. All you got to do is figure out where the queen is. Cards are moving. Cards are moving. Where's the queen? Where's the queen? Oh, sorry. It's here, not there. That's a Republican Congress, okay? So we've made it through 2 hours tonight. I'm anxious for the third one. So let it be written. So let it be done. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. On the ninth day of fighting between Israel and Hezbollah, Israel is now hinting of a full-scale attack. Residents of southern Lebanon are being warned to evacuate. An unknown number of Israeli soldiers were killed today in southern Lebanon as they searched for tunnels and weapons used by Hezbollah. Casualties were also reported when two Israeli helicopters collided in northern Israel. Meanwhile, Hezbollah's leader says the two Israeli soldiers who were taken hostage earlier this month will only be released as part of a prisoner exchange program. He also denied reports that Hezbollah's military strength has been weakened and reportedly said Hezbollah is fighting on behalf of the entire nation of Lebanon. In Beirut, U.S. Marines continue aiding with evacuation efforts. State Department officials say more than 2,200 Americans left Lebanon today, bringing the total number of American evacuees to 3,850. At the United Nations, Secretary General Kofi Annan is calling for an immediate halt to the violence. He condemned Israel for using excessive force, but also Hezbollah. He said the group's actions, quote, hold an entire nation hostage. In Washington, the House has passed a resolution that supports Israel and holds Syria and Iran responsible for supporting Hezbollah. The Senate passed a similar measure on Tuesday. Across Iraq today, two U.S. soldiers and at least 12 others were killed in attacks. Today, the top Shiite cleric told his followers to stop reprisal attacks against the Sunnis. At the United Nations, a British diplomat told the Security Council that Russia and China may back out of their support of punishing Iran over its nuclear program. That comes after Russia's ambassador said there's no rush to adopt a resolution against Tehran. On Capitol Hill, the Senate has voted to renew the Voting Rights Act, a law passed in 1965 that allowed millions of minorities to vote. It now heads to President Bush, who said he'll sign it. In Washington, President Bush addressed the NAACP for the first time in his presidency. He acknowledged racism still exists in the country and said the Republican Party wants strengthened ties with black voters. In San Francisco, a federal judge is allowing a lawsuit against AT&T to go forward. A privacy rights group sued the company, saying it illegally cooperated with the U.S. government's domestic spying program. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was. And never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Ford has reported a worse-than-expected second-quarter loss of $123 million. The company blames fewer sales of SUVs and costs associated with personnel layoffs. Microsoft announced today that it wants to buy back $20 billion in stocks by mid-August. The company also reported fourth-quarter earnings dropped nearly 24%, but still beat Wall Street estimates. Google reported better-than-expected second-quarter earnings of $721 million. Yesterday, rival Yahoo lost the equivalent of $10 billion after announcing a change in its advertising formula will be delayed. Negotiators say they're close to a deal on a bill aimed at improving employer-based pensions. Lawmakers are expected to meet again today. Toyota says it will improve the quality of its vehicles following a spate of recent recalls. Yesterday, the company announced the recall of 400,000 SUVs in the U.S. Also today, Toyota indicated that it is not interested in joining a proposed alliance between GM and Renault-Nissan. Consumer Reports has posted a list on its website of the worst American cars of 2006. It includes the Dodge Sprinter van, Dodge Ford Crown Victoria, and Mercury Grand Marquis. Light sweet crude settled at $73.08 today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 83 points, NASDAQ down 41.
night's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, a couple of things to get, well, several things to hit in this final hour. But I do want to throw it in reverse for just a minute to share a little something with you with regard to something I mentioned in our conversation in the first hour with our good friend David in Maine. And it, this comes from the Boston Globe, you know, liberals. But I haven't, you know, I haven't seen anything about this on CNN or NBC or any of the other alphabet soups. Quite the stark little headline, though. Turkey signals it's prepared to enter Iraq. See, stuff has consequences. Oh, don't you remember during the tormenting of Bill Clinton when the right wing morality police came out on all the talk shows on Chris Matthews and things like that, and they said words mean things. Well, yeah, they do, and actions have consequences. Here's a consequence of giving Israel a carte blanche to kill all the Lebanese that it wants to. Turkey signals it's prepared to enter Iraq. Dateline, Ankara, Turkey. Turkish officials signaled Tuesday they are prepared to send the army into northern Iraq. Woot! If U.S. and Iraqi forces do not take steps to combat Turkish Kurdish guerrillas there, a move that could put Turkey on a collision course with the United States. Ah, now that's what we needed. That's what we needed. We got the entire Iraqi nation all good and stirred up. The Iranians are running around and screaming in the streets. Oh, kill the great Satan. Let's go stir up the Turks. Because they hate the Kurds hate the Turks. It's almost as much as the Israelis hate the Palestinians and the Palestinians hate the Israelis. Just because it doesn't make the television networks doesn't mean that they don't just despise each other. Oh, golly, this is good. I mean, that's pretty just boring journalism language, isn't it? Turkish officials signaled Tuesday they are prepared to send the army into northern Iraq if U.S. and Iraqi forces do not take steps to combat Turkish Kurdish guerrillas there. What does that mean? You know what that means. Thank God I'm doing, you know, liberal progressive talk. It'll take Flush Flembaugh an entire three-hour program to explain this to the knuckle-draggers who listen to him. What this means is that the Kurds, who hate the Turks, are on the border with Turkey in northern Iraq, and every now and then they slip across under the cover of darkness and slit a few throats, shoot a few Turks, you know, fun stuff. And Turkey, like Israel, is pretty well sick of it. Of course, we're in a bit of a sticky wicket because we love the Kurds. We're the ones who, after Bush War I, created a semi-autonomous Kurdish state in the Iraqi north. I mean, Saddam couldn't even fly his planes over anymore. He was shut out. They did for themselves, cared for themselves, and it was as though they weren't even part of Iraq. That's why they were called semi-autonomous. Had their own little parliamentary body, had their own little elections. Unfortunately, at their own, you know, when they met in their own parliamentary body, they would sit down and say things like, "Death to Turkey!
death to Turkey. We pledge forever death to Turkey for sitting on our ancestral homeland.
Okay? And as a consequence, like I said, over the border, slit the throat, come back home. Yeah, what? Well, dear, did you have a lovely day at work?
Was wonderful day. Killed many Turk.
I don't know if that's a Kurdish accent, and I frankly don't care. This is it just adds a little spice. It's a little salt in the stew, okay? But see, Turkey is now claiming the same right to go in and clean out a hornet's nest that Israel claimed the right to do. You want to? Anybody want to guess on what the United States position is on Turkey going out and going and cleaning out a hornet's nest inside Iraq? Anybody? Yeah, you in the back. Right. No. Because, you see, all nations are equal. It's just that some nations are more equal than others. Yeah, I know. George Orwell. Animal Farm. Right. Israel can do it. Turkey can't. Israel can slaughter Lebanese babies till hell freezes over. Turkey, not so much. Because if Turkey... and Turkey's are, you know, they've already given the ultimatum. You clean them up, or we'll clean them up for you. Guess what? We ain't cleaning them up. Because they might be SOBs, the Kurds, but they're our SOBs. And as long as they stay bought, we're happy with them. This is, you know, this is what you get out of a hypocritical administration. The government's really in a bind. Yeah, I'll bet. A Turkish push into northern Iraq could also threaten relations with European Union countries, which have been pressing Turkey to improve rights for minority Kurds. The Turkish-Kurdish guerrillas are mostly based in the Kandil Mountains, an area 50 miles from the Turkish border with Iran. From Iraq, the guerrillas infiltrate southeastern Turkey to stage attacks. And Turkey has about 2,000 troops sitting in northern Iraq near the border monitoring the area. Iter Turan said, I don't think it's Turkey's desire to stage an intervention in northern Iraq. He's a professor of international relations. He said Turkey's simply trying to draw attention to the fact that it is in an untenable position. Well, hidey-ho to the Ankara government. Stuff it. Now, if you said that your dirt was sacred holy dirt and that God told you to occupy... No, stop it. But do you see how the double standard works? Oh, let's see. What was the line from James Baker III in 1990? Yeah, 1990. When Iraq told us that they had a beef with Kuwait and was thinking about whooping Kuwait's butt. Yeah, the cable came back from Baker. And he said, quote, we have no opinion on your border disagreement with Kuwait. The issue is not associated with America. Well, you know, the Kurdish-Turkish issue is kind of associated with America, but we'll say the same thing. And it's a recipe for disaster. Oh, but that's okay. All of Iraq is a recipe for disaster. Congratulations, you get a toaster. It's disgusting. It's just... Daggum it, it's disgusting. Dead Kurds, dead Turks, dead Lebanese, Oh, but today we got a resolution out of the House and the Senate. Come on, Israel, go kill you some more Lebanese babies. Woohoo! Like I said at the start of the program, screw them all. Anybody that kills babies for being the kind of babies they are is not deserving of the company of civilized society. Pox on both their houses. And do you remember the story that I talked about out of the Sunday opinion section of the paper a couple of weeks back? I don't know if I've still even got it laying around here. I still haven't fully digested the import of it. But scientists using genetic research coupled with high-level, really-make-your-brain-hurt statistics have figured out that if you were able to use, you know, what, a family tree maker, and you were able to work back about 3,000 years, you know, 1,000 years before Yeshua, sort of, well, yeah, 500 years before Socrates. Socrates, dude! That you would find out that every single human being on planet Earth, all multi-billion of us, at about 3,000 years back, we all have some common ancestor. That means Sheikh Nasser. I'm not doing it, Agnes. I'm not going there. Sure do got a pretty mouth. No, you would find out that 3,000 years back, Ehud Olmert and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Sheikh Nasrallah have a common ancestor. They're kin. Oh, I clipped it out of the newspaper. I didn't get it on the internet. I've got to find that story again, because I would love to get the guy on the program and let him lay it out real simple like. Because I got to have it laid out real simple-like. But that's pretty simple. Some dude in China, some dude in Europe, you, me, 3,000 years back, we've all got a common ancestor. So, you know, it's not just infanticide. Oh, no. It's fratricide. Puts a different color on it, doesn't it? Now, I don't want to sit around and sing kumbaya or anything. I'm not that much of a hidebound idealist. There are people on this planet that are not going to like other people on this planet. Good. Don't have anything to do with them. Some of this really is Robert Fulghum stuff. Everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. It really is. Some of this stuff. You go to your room. Don't come out of your rooms. If you come out of your rooms, I'm going to whip you. Okay, I don't believe in corporal punishment, but you get the idea. There is a way to enforce civilized behavior among uncivilized people. And anyone who deliberately—well, I'm sure they didn't mean to really drop that artillery on that baby. Yeah, they did. Intent is inferred from the actions surrounding the commission of the crime. Intent is not susceptible to solid proof. It is proven circumstantially. Did you shoot? Did you fire the cannon? Did you know what your azimuth setting was? Huh? Did you really? Okay. And so you know the range of the cannon, right? Yeah. Okay. And several babies got killed. Guess what?
You meant to.
We regret the loss of life. The heck with a press statement. We condemn these acts in the strongest possible terms. No, you don't. It must end. It must end. The Iraq War must end. The war against Lebanon must end. Darfur must end. How many other places? Name a war. It must end. And nobody has to sing kumbaya. And nobody has to, beyond the peace tables, nobody has to speak. It must end. It is not necessary. The determination that it must end, it will end. These are the growing pains toward the next step of us being human. You know, up from the monkey with the bone by the obelisk thing, whack! It's the next step beyond that, because we're still in the monkey with the bone by the obelisk phase, okay? It must end. And it will end with determined leadership. Unfortunately, we're kind of fresh out. Putin? Nah, nah. Chirac? No. Merkel? No. Blair? No. Kofi Annan? I got an idea. The Dalai Lama? No, because the Israelis and the Lebanese would kill him, Hezbollah would kill him at the same time. Ooh, we killed the infidel. It gets depressing. Because while I believe it is possible... See, there's that stinking dirty word, I believe. While I hope it is possible for us to get well from this instead of getting just the whole planet dead, it takes work. It takes determination. It takes desire. That desire is not present anywhere, I think, on the planet. Phone call for Nelson Mandela. How about... Okay. Hey, yeah. A real superhero team. Nelson, let's get Nelson Mandela. Let's get the Dalai Lama. Man, there just aren't very many good people on the planet right now, are there? No. Both sides, they'd carve Cindy Sheehan up and eat her for lunch. It'd be the one thing they could agree on. Oh, the pacifist! Let's kill the pacifist. Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela, come on, help here. Hugo Chavez? No, he's been poking the sharp stick at Israel. That wouldn't work. Evo Morales, maybe. How about what's her name down in Chile? We need a peace team. Dennis Kucinich, Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela, Dennis Kucinich. There's a peace team. Oh boy, I must be off my medicine, sitting here talking about finding peace in the Middle East. Peace is not desired in the Middle East. It must be a constant state of tension. And little girls have to write on artillery shells, "Here is one for your house. To Lebanon with love. Stop hating my people." Yeah, the liberal circles used to complain about teenage pregnancy and called it babies having babies. It's worse. It's worse. Now we have babies bombing babies. And pilots in American jets 50,000 feet high. And a string of traffic is just little dots. And you tell one little dot how to get to the other little dot. And you punch the little button. And one little dot goes away when it gets met by the other little dot. And you turn your American-made aircraft around. And you fly back home. And you're home. It took you 2 minutes to get from point A to point B, where you made the little dots get together. And then you turn around and you fly home. Another 2.5 minutes. And it's like... Well, when you walk in the door and your wife is standing there, it's like you were never gone at all. It's all too easy. It is far, far too easy. Kurt Vonnegut says that the human race is a virus that Earth is desperately trying to reject. And in my more dark and cynical moments, I am inclined to agree. the dinosaurs, well, you know, I mean, they were too big. They over-evolved. And the comet, or the asteroid, or what the heck ever took them out. Unsuccessful. No more. Yeah, okay. Nice try. Next up, the mammals and the monkeys. And we've been at this for, what, 2 million? How many hundreds of millions of years were the dinosaurs more or less on Earth? We're at it for 2 million, and we're just about done. Just about. So, well, the Kurt Vonnegut's book, Galapagos. I remember reading it, like I've said it before, I think. I read it in college, and I thought it was a terribly, terribly dark and depressing novel. I went and reread it recently, and it was liberating. So we're about done. And who's next? Ah, the insect kingdom. Yes. After that, I don't know, intelligent moss. Sometimes I can halfway understand the mad fools of the Christian dispensational movement. I can almost understand them, but for all the wrong reasons. Oh dear, Francis, you better lighten up. take away the box cutter, Agnes.
I got it.
Let's take a break. I really, really need a break. This is the Head On Radio Network. Yeah, dance music. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Bob Kincaid.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Well,
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
This is Lee Hamilton
and Ron Saracen of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society.
Our Capitol has hosted some of the great debates of our history,
and we're both proud to have served here.
But there is no guarantee that representative democracy will simply continue on.
We all need to ask ourselves whether we're doing our part as citizens,
staying informed, engaging elected officials, and being active in our communities.
It's our history,
and it's also our future.
Get involved.
Cheers me up. I'll tell you what cheers me up. Catching Repiglicans being their normal, sleazy, dirty, rotten selves. It really does. It reassures my faith in human nature. Birds gotta swim, fish gotta fly. Republicans gotta lie and cheat and steal. What, Bob, you ask, might you be talking about? Well, I'll tell you. Over in Ohio, home of the stolen vote, Ohio is an old Indian word meaning stolen vote, there's a senatorial contest going on this year between Mike DeWine and Sherrod Brown. Remember Sherrod Brown? Oh, yeah. The guy that the Flush Flambaugh pronounced it, Sherrod Brown, obviously a Negro. Remember that? That's worth remembering, isn't it? Ugly little contest going on there. Well, it's ugly at least coming from Mike DeWine. That's, you know, it's the Republican Party. It's America's sleaze factory. This is out of the Columbus Dispatch. Remember the remember the controversial commercial aired last week by Senator Mike DeWine that showed one of the towers of the World Trade Center burning after the September 11th attack? Well, first of all, my question is, Senator DeWine, why do you need to make Americans look at the burning towers again? Guess we just don't have that quite burnt into our memories well enough now, do we? I guess Ohio voters have forgotten all. And see, I remember when the Wingnuts used to call. And they'd say things like, "Well, Baghdad Bob, I guess you've done forgot about 9/11. And back then, I couldn't say words like dumbass on the radio. No, I haven't. I'm genial. I'm so genial. No, I haven't. And pretty soon they'd be screaming their fool little right-wing heads off. And then I would have to get nasty. But that's right. You know, went right to the cheap, tawdry, painful, hateful stuff Mike DeWine did. Remember the controversial commercial aired last week by Senator Mike DeWine that showed one of the towers of the World Trade Center burning after the September 11th attack? Well, and you know the answer to this one. Even if you haven't read the story, you know the answer to this one. Well, it turns out the photo isn't quite what you think it is. Apparently the producers of the commercial did not have ready access to a photo of the towers burning after the attack. So they used a still photograph of the towers from before the attack. You know, the towers just kind of stand. Oh, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they had to Photoshop the King Kong out of it from the 1974 release. So they used a photo of the towers from before the attack and added smoke to one of the towers. A sharp-eyed reporter from U.S. News and World Report thought the smoke was blowing the wrong way and called the DeWine campaign. Why did he call the DeWine campaign? How many breaks do these godless, soulless, motherless, republican fascists get? Would they have caught it? Well, okay, Sherrod Brown would. Sherrod Brown's a decent liberal guy. He wouldn't have done that. But had there been even the remotest iota of a possibility, oh, you know, Powerline blog would have been out there. Oh, Jesus, I think that photo's been through an IBM Selectric typewriter. But he called the DeWine campaign. Isn't he sweet? Quote, the senator was unaware that the image of the towers was a... Little bastards can't even call them what they are. The senator was unaware that the image of the towers was a graphic representation. Orville Redenbacher, that's not his assistant, that's his longtime companion. The senator was unaware that the image of the towers was a graphic representation. God, we've got to get a webcam in here sometime so you can see me winking going, graphic representation. It's a graphic representation. It's not a lie. It's not a fraud. It's not another day at the office for an average garden variety, filthy, mud-brained, dirt-eaten Republican. It's a graphic representation. And Senator DeWine has instructed the campaign to replace the footage with a picture of the Twin Towers. Hogan. Said Brian Seitchik, a spokesman for the DeWine campaign. Well, we didn't realize it was a graphic. Damn, we didn't. We got caught. I hate it when we got caught. So we've replaced it with a real picture of the burning Twin Towers. Can he? Maybe next week we get the DeWine campaign will run a commercial with a picture of the Challenger blowing up. Week 3 involves the Hindenburg. And they're all Sherrod Brown's fault. People in Ohio should see the new commercial today, showing the Trade Center as it was before the attack, this time without any smoke around the buildings. The commercial charged that as a member of the House in the 1990s, Sherrod Brown, a liberal Democrat from Avon, repeatedly voted for amendments that would have cut or frozen spending for the CIA and other intelligence agencies. Seitchik said. The fact basis of the ad was well documented. Oh my God, they're showing a picture of the Twin Towers with added smoke flavoring, and this goon has the nerve to say, the fact basis of the ad is still correct. It's well documented.
Wait a minute. You mean like the spending cuts that were directed towards the FBI where they don't even have their own email?
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
The agents no longer have their own email.
Haven't had it for, I don't know that they've ever had it.
Yes,
I mean, they were using AOL Instant Messenger for a while.
Before all those tubes come
PPL, to pass. Say I'm cute. You? Oh, Agent Fred, you make me hot. LOL. Oh, Jesus. Joanna Kubler, a Sherrod Brown spokeswoman, said, quote, DeWine distorted images like he distorted Sherrod's record in an attempt... Okay, here's our problem, people. Here's our problem. Joanna Kubler, a Brown spokeswoman, said, quote,
DeWine distorted images like he distorted Sherrod's record in an attempt to hide his own failures for Ohio. 2,000 lost manufacturing jobs, soaring gas and prescription drug prices, and a less secure Ohio.
What? I'm going to go out one of these days and I'm going to set up shop as a political consultant. Because what you do, you don't give out a nuanced message when you've just caught your opponent in a big old honking lie, baby. You don't say, DeWine distorted images like he distorted Sherrod's record, and it... No. I'm... Is this because I'm a Southerner?
No.
No, I think it is. I really, honest to God, I think it is. And this is... this. See, God bless her. I'm sure her heart's in the right place, and she believes in all the right things, and she advocates all the right stuff. And you know, me and you and Joanna Kubler, we could sit down at lunch, and we would not disagree about anything. Until we got to the part where I said, you know, that Mike DeWine's a real genuine brass bound sorry syphilitic seventh son of a sea cook.
No, he's misguided. And he distorted that.
Ms. Kubler, the proper response to Mike DeWine putting out a commercial that features a picture of the flaming, burning Twin Towers that turns out to have the smoke going in the wrong direction and you get caught dummying it up, the proper response is Mike DeWine is a liar. Mike DeWine can't be trusted. If he'll lie about a photo, what else will he lie about? What else is Mike DeWine lying to Ohioans about? Why did we lose 200,000 jobs? But see, short, simple sentences. You know, Hemingway-esque. Manuel drank his brandy. Manuel sat against the wall. Mike DeWine is a liar. Why is Mike DeWine lying? What else is Mike DeWine lying about?
Well, you see, Bob, we don't want to go negative.
It's the thought
that counts. That's the politics of personal destruction.
No, it isn't. If you have nothing upon which to base your charge and you come out and go, and you say, Mike DeWine's a liar, then you deserve the butt beaten you're going to get inflicted upon you. Because that's going negative. Mike DeWine eats stem cells for breakfast. You know, okay? Baseless negative, no, okay. But when you catch the SOB in a lie, and you're actually interested in winning the election, you come out and you use plain speech. Why is Mike DeWine lying? What else will Mike DeWine lie about? Why can't we trust Mike DeWine? But beyond that, I mean, you want to get nuanced? You want to get creative with this? Why not ask the question, what in the hell do the Twin Towers have to do with 200,000 lost jobs on Mike DeWine's watch? Why are you, Mike DeWine, why are you waving the bloody shirt? Mike DeWine, did you ever encourage your president to actually read the Hart-Rudman report that he shuffled off to Brownie at FEMA? You know, we've been joking the last couple of nights about, what's her name, Twinkle Kavanaugh down in Alabama, the chairman of the Alabama GOP. I'd like to see a movement out there where everybody sent a box of Twinkies to Twinkle. But the serious side of that was the deep-seated desire that I have to see my party ball up its fists and punch these punk rats right in their noses and bloody them up real good, figuratively speaking, Agent Fred. People want... If you won't fight to get elected, why should we believe that you will fight when you get into office? Sherrod Brown is a good, good man. Somebody needs to tell him to have Ms. Kubler put out press statements that reflect how good he is and how willing he is to fight. Not only for himself, but for the people of a state that is sitting in darkness. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Welcome to the Department of State's Bureau of Consular Affairs Overseas Citizen Services, serving American citizens abroad. We encourage you to visit our website at www.travel.state.gov, where information covering world events, including travel warnings, public announcements, and consular information sheets for countries around the world, is updated regularly and is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you are calling about an emergency regarding a United States citizen abroad, please press 0 now. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality and training purposes.
The Homeland Security Advisory System is designed to provide warnings as the risk of terrorist acts increases. If the severe condition signified in red is declared, it's recommended that you avoid public gathering places or other high-profile locations. Public transportation may be impacted, and non-essential public and government facilities may be closed. Go to the Homeland Security website at www.dhs.gov for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Bruce Burke's radio program, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m., connecting people.
Listen, not only we have the founding fathers and mothers, now we got the founding sisters. Don't forget about that, girl.
It's Wicked Witch of the North, huh, Peter?
Jim, I'm the Wicked Witch of the South. Glad to meet you, buddy.
Well, listen, I sent you an email. You haven't replied.
Dude, I replied to your email. I told you that we wanted to have you in chat.
I can't do it. They won't let me in.
Oh, please.
Is this a good idea?
You're a real, both of you are a total cap.
Bruce, I love you more.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to have to retreat to my Barbara Cartland novels and my box of bonbons.
Oh, God, the world's first bitch fight on internet radio.
This is great. This is great. So, do I have to flip a coin, or what's the deal here?
Don't miss Bruce Burch, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
left in the program. Let's wrap things up. I try to get away from this issue, and I keep getting dragged back into it. You know, I've told you about these right-wing solicitations I get to have people on the show. And most of the time, I don't want to give them the satisfaction. But you need to at least know what's out there. This is an invitation for me to interview a guy named Avi Lipkin, the former senior translator under Yitzhak Shamir's press office. And they want me to let him on the Head On Radio Network to explain what is meant when Hezbollah says that soon that we will see a great surprise. Are you afraid yet? You're supposed to be afraid now. This is another reason. Yeah, this is another reason to keep you from looking at Iraq. The surprise Hezbollah refers to, according to Mr. Lipkin, is an Iranian-backed attack on America that will make 9/11 pale in comparison. 9/11. You afraid? I'm afraid. And this thing's all laid out in bullet points. Basically, he says that there are Iranians under your bed. They're just all over the place. We're just swimming in them. And they're every one of them, going to come and kill you. Because Mr. Lipkin would like for us to nuke Iran. No kidding. I'm disgusted with this. How many more times can the Bush administration trot out these sleazy, disgusting scare tactics? Look at the way they try to manipulate people, and they often succeed with the less intelligent among us. Here's Flush Flimball saying that you have to have an abortion to get embryonic stem cells. What? Yep. And we have to re-examine the notion of quote-unquote scientist because, quote, science has been so wrong about so many things. Unquote. When will the lying stop? Not anytime soon. The Iranians are going to get you. They might make you have an abortion to get your stem cells. And by the way, I got another article here from the right-wing religion industry that says, you know, the new vaccine is out that will prevent women from ever getting certain forms of ovarian cancer, or is it ovarian or uterine cancer? No, I think it's uterine.
It's ovarian.
Okay, well, you've got a set, so I'll trust you, dear. You're welcome. The human papillomavirus vaccine and the right... Well, the religion industry is now putting out information that says, wait for it, the human papillomavirus does not exist. It just doesn't exist. Poof, gone. I don't believe in it, so it ain't real. The human papillomavirus ain't in the Bible. No, really. There's an entire generation of young women, even young right-wing fundamentalist women, who someday may die of some god-awful form of cancer that they didn't have to have because their mommy heard somebody in the... Well, human papillomavirus doesn't even exist. And it goes on. It's on and it's on and it's on. Abortion. You've got to have an abortion to get a stem cell. The human papillomavirus doesn't exist.
But, Bob.
Yes, dear.
When you're a nurse at the health department, it doesn't matter what political affiliation your parents have. There are just as many right-wing, as left-wing, as independent, as Green Party. They're there. They're looking for measures to keep from becoming pregnant. And now you have to have parental permission.
Well, guess what, dear? Yeah, exactly. parental notification before you can get that filthy sex-inducing human papilloma. And the human why would you even let them go there? Won't get let them get near a health department. That place is place of Satan because they talk about diseases that don't exist like human papilloma. And meanwhile, I got these weird right-wing freaks from the American Family Association. You know what they're doing? I got an alert from them today. Ford suffers a $123 million loss in second quarter. They're proud of that. They're happy of that. Here's your right-wing religion industry for you. Here's the base of the Republican Party. This is the cancerous little tumorous knot that they pander to with their Pledge of Allegiance motions and their support of Israel resolutions and all the other filthy things that the right-wing Republican Congress does. And here is the American Family Associate. Dear Bob, Ford Motor Company has announced they posted an unexpected second quarter loss of $123 million. While the boycott of Ford was not the sole cause of the loss, it no doubt has affected the sales. These ugly creeps are proud of costing American workers their jobs. Now, who's more likely the people doing the attacking? Iranians or American religion industry fundamentalists? Sunshine, you better know your enemy because these people want you as dead as any Muslim. And I tell you that in surety. If you don't believe the way they do, they want you dead.
Get ready for the Inquisition.
It's that simple. And it's that done. My darling wife, Agnes, produced the program and tolerated me tonight. Thank you, all of you, for tolerating me tonight. I'm sorry, I was in a funk. I apologize. Maybe I'm crawling out of it. See, this is good for me.
We're all in.
Don't send me a bill. I can't afford that many therapy charges. Brian Reznor announces the program. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT specialist. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream and the archives of every program on the Head On Radio Network, as well as the archives of many other fine liberal talk programs. He's got a fundraiser going on. Let's get him over the hump, okay, please? Our good friend Gene is the news editor for the Head On Radio Network website. We appreciate all of his hard work. All of this happens on the Head On Radio Network because there are thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and go to work and build the American dream. By supporting the growth of this network, they're trying to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.